live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville Sports Original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. We'll be with you until 5:55 when we turn things over to Atlanta Braves baseball. 5:55 for the pregame. First pitch at 6:10 as the Braves take on the Toronto Blue Jays. The first of three straight games against the Blue Jays. And certainly when we think about the Braves, if you're a fan of the Braves, your thoughts and prayers certainly go out to Mike Soroka, who the ace for the Braves, season now over with a torn Achilles. And that means that Max Fried now steps up, and who's been outstanding so far in his first couple outings. The Braves are going to need him tonight and moving forward, especially with what we've seen from him, to be able to count on him. And so, but some huge shoes to fill, not only for Max Fried, but the other part of that Braves rotation as well. To talk about the Braves, college football, and more, our good buddy Barrett Slee joins us, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84, and he resides in Atlanta. Huge Braves fan as well. Barrett, as always, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Yeah, I was throwing this out earlier. Two individuals celebrating birthdays today. Leonard Hamilton, 72, head coach of the Florida State Seminoles men's basketball team, currently with the number one recruiting class in the country as far as men's basketball. So you got one end of the spectrum to the other. Mike Soroka also celebrating, maybe not, a 28th birthday today for the Braves, but just really sad news with his injury last night.
Yeah, really sad news. Obviously was set to have, you know, a breakout season, obviously as the ace, and, you know, his second injury in 3 years. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, especially in a 60-game season, but, you know, you just hope for Mike's overall health. I mean, I think folks forget, you know, the season's young, but it's also August. So, you know, he's going to have to get ready for next year potentially too, and might miss some time. So it's a bummer. You know, it's a spot, from a position standpoint where the Braves don't have a lot of depth. So I'm interested to see what happens. I would imagine Folty gets called back up, which I'm sure does not, sit well in the blood pressure department of any Braves fan. But, at this point, who else? I mean, you really don't have a lot of options unless you bring up a young, unproven kid, or move, you know, somebody from the bullpen, say Tomlin, into the starting rotation. So it's a bummer for sure.
Well, and the other part about it, I threw this out, in a normal season without the things that we're dealing with COVID-19, you would look and see about possibilities of a trade, knowing what your aspirations are. Well, in this situation, I mean, we don't know. I mean, the season could get shut down in 2 weeks, so you're not going to invest, especially, say, just a year wonder, if all of a sudden they're only here for 2 weeks. So I don't even think that's a part of the equation, do you?
No, I don't think it's part of the equation at all. I think you can't find trade partners. They're not there. So I don't know. You know, it's going to have to be pieced together. Maybe you do something, you know, like the old Rays used to do a couple years ago and have an opener, you know, have a guy come in and pitch two innings and then, you know, piece it together from there. Designate certain people to be pitchers for the fifth spot in the rotation. So maybe that's what you do. I don't know. But, you know, it's certainly not a good situation for the Braves, and put a lot of pressure on Snit and on Anthopoulos, and try to figure out exactly what can be done in order to keep this team in it. And the good part is, you know, it's pretty easy to get in the playoffs this year, and starting out 7-4 will certainly go a long way toward toward getting the team to the playoffs.
Absolutely. You know, last week we talked before Kyle Wright's first start, and, you know, he certainly, to me, that third inning, I mean, you think about a better jump on a ball hit to left field, and maybe he gets out of that third inning with little damage done. But, you know, the bottom line is that he rebounded on Sunday, and I think, you know, he could be better than that, but at the same time, you look for those little things to give you confidence. I'm looking forward to his next start to see if he can use that momentum and what he learned from the win on Sunday, the 4-0 shutout, which was combined, and seeing where he takes it with his next start.
Yeah, you know, I am too. You know, I think he's got to be one that delivers. You know, when you look at the staff now, you know, Kyle Wright, you're going to be that guy. Bryce Wilson, you're going to be that guy. Sean Newcomb, you got to be that guy. And obviously, we know what Fried is capable of. So you're asking for a lot of people to grow up in a hurry. And,
right.
You know, I think it's possible that they can. You know, I think they've got the arms to do it. But, yeah, you're going to ask a lot of people that maybe aren't ready to do something that they're not ready to do and have experience doing. So we'll see what happens. It's a big one tonight. It'd be huge to get a win and get Max Fried comfortable and being a being an ace, because he's got to be that right now.
And when one more player we have to brag about before we talk college football, Dansby Swanson, 2 home runs, 11 runs batted in, batting .333, off to a great start, just like he did last year.
Man, this is why he was the number one overall draft pick and why the Braves traded for him. You know, he's a guy that can deliver. He's figured out to take it the opposite way. I remember his first year here, you know, just everything he was pulling off of, just every single thing. You know, and now he appears to have fixed that. His defense obviously has been great for the last couple of seasons. So moving him up to number two in the order tonight, that'll help. You know, Ozzie struggled moving him down, obviously, especially with the injury issue, probably the right move. And, Dansby's been doing what he's supposed to do. And if he keeps this up, he'll definitely be living up to the hype of being the number one overall pick and, you know, definitely vindicate the Braves for doing what they did trading for him.
By the way, to put this in perspective, Baseball Reference had this stat. I don't know if you saw it, but going into yesterday's game, Dansby, you know, he has 11 runs batted in the first 10 games. But you go back to last year through the first 10 games, he had 12 runs batted in. It's the first Atlanta Braves hitter to start with that kind of pace. You have to go all the way back to 1970 and 71 when the one and only Hank Aaron did the same thing.
Hey, man, that's good company to be in.
Absolutely.
I'll take that every day of the week to be in that kind of company. So, that's where we are right now. And, man, you just got to hope the pitching – either the pitching holds up or they become, you know, the new version of the Bronx Bombers or the Blake Street Bombers, where they just score 10 runs a game, which theoretically I think the offense has the potential to do. They just haven't necessarily done it consistently yet.
Right. All right, as far as college football, I love what the SEC announced last week, the date part, September 26, which gives you all kind of time to let this play out to see where we are. You know, we know all the states as far as the southeastern portion of the U.S., you know, not doing a really particularly good job of keeping the numbers down, which is a major concern, because when you look at the hot spots, it's littered with the states that have SEC teams in it. But I love the fact that they put September 26, which allows everybody to take, you know, a pause and see where we are and to hopefully get numbers down. Too bad there's not more conversations going on with the other Power 5 conferences, because I don't necessarily think it helps anyone to have everybody off on their own like that, and because you could just get the feeling that there's a lot of student-athletes, especially like, for example, with the Pac-12, a lot of concerned student-athletes wondering, and when you have them doubting that the adults are acting like adults and has, you know, if they have your best interest at heart, that's a major problem, and we're seeing it across the country in some spots.
Yeah, we are. You know, and I think the biggest thing is to make sure you abide by the rules, wear a mask, as you obviously know very well from what's happened with your family. And,
Thank you.
You know, I think that, you know, it's one of those things where football is not important, but if that's the motivating factor, then that's the motivating factor. You know, whatever has to be done to get the job done, whatever motivation there is, do it. I mean, you saw that from Tate Reeves, the Mississippi governor today, issuing a statewide mask ordinance. You know, we can argue whether those ordinances are legal or, but he also used football as a reason. So do whatever you got to do. You get what you want in terms of the country opening back up, and I think a lot of these political figures in these states are suddenly looking at things, going, all right, what can we do to make things easier for our residents, for their constituents? Maybe using football as leverage is a good idea.
You know, whatever, as you said, you know, whatever it takes. And, you know, I know that folks in Alabama, they've been doing that for a couple of months now, you know, just saying, look, do you want college football? If you do, wear your mask. And, but yeah, the state of Mississippi, worst state in the U.S. right now with, as far as when you test and getting positive results, one out of every five turning up positive. That's not a good number.
That's not a good number. And you saw Rutgers sort of has their own outbreak right now, you know, with what's been going on there. Colorado State came out tonight that they have had multiple unnamed players allege that they've been pressured that they might lose playing time and lose and get in the bad graces of the coaching staff if they report symptoms and things like that. So, you know, it's a mess, man. It's a mess. And I think, you know, the SEC and the Pac-12 and what would I would imagine the Big Ten when they announced, you know, delaying the start of their seasons to September 26th is in part because they expect where, you know, numbers would go when students get back.
Well,
you know, it's like everything this time of year or in these times, everything's fluid.
And look, with these coaches, and I don't know, once again, how many coaches where their jobs are on the line with a hot seat, knowing with the things that everybody's dealing with, I don't know what hot seat necessarily means as far as results in 2020. But with that said, you've got your head in the sand if you think there's not some programs out there where they're not threatening players, where you can lose your scholarship. There's all kinds of ways to put pressure on them because they're not necessarily thinking and taking the interest of the players at heart. You know, it's especially if you're not that important to the team, but they know a number as far as if you're complaining about symptoms, you could see where some of these players are feeling threatened by keeping quiet, per se.
They are. And the Colorado State story that just came out today, you know, they say that, you know, they're being pressured not to report anything, and there's fear, and there's, you know, players being threatened, and you know, one player suggests that it makes them feel like cattle, which is definitely not where you want to be. I think those stories are going to come out, and I think in part because you know, these players now understand that they have a voice. So the offseason of player empowerment, I think, really is going to shed some light on, you know, some schools that are not doing this the right way, like Colorado State, so allegedly. So, yeah, you know, everybody's got their own different way of doing things, and if it's not followed to the T, like, you know, the NCAA or the specific conferences want it to be followed, then we're going to hear it, and we're going to have some criticism and some controversy.
Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, who has been on the job for less than a year, you know, this is tough in any situation. I don't care how many years of experience you have in that position, but you know, I go back to a month ago when they announced a fall that as long as they could play, which was buried, by the way, but as long as they could play, they were going to conference only, trying to get the jump ahead of, it was almost like, to me, a play where they're trying to stand out as leaders of the COVID-19 era amongst the other Power 5 conferences. But now, in that same day, if you recall, Ohio State closed down everything because of an outbreak with positive tests that were going on. And now you brought up earlier with the situation at Rutgers, things are now out of hand in New Jersey. This is why I go back to it would have been really beneficial for the Power 5 conferences to maybe come out with more of a joint kind of thing instead of everybody off on their own.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But that's the way things are, right? Like, that's the way things, have to be, because there's no centralized, czar of college football, so to speak. So, I think for college, this is the way it's got to be, man. Like, this is the way there's no other way that you can do this based on the power structure that currently exists. It's unfortunate, but I think it leads to all the things that we've been seeing with different, protocols being followed or not followed, and different test numbers being reported and different schedules being started at different times. It's what our sport is. It's beautifully dysfunctional, or in this case, sadly dysfunctional.
Great news, however, the Miami Marlins, the fact that they actually returned to the baseball diamond. Now they'll have a different roster with all the fact that 18 players tested it positive for COVID-19, but they actually returned to the field. And once again, when I don't care if you're college football, NBA, or whatever, you're still paying attention to what's happening on the sports landscape. And the fact that the Marlins are able to return to the diamond and play tonight, they haven't played since July 26th.
Yeah, well, I saw that the standings have the Marlins at 2-1 in second place in the NL East, which is
no, which first is place. Oh no, no, they
oh,
they got
right,
it first
the Braves
place.
Lost last night.
Yeah,
they're in first place. it's just kind of year that's going to be, and that's why the ACC decided to use its winning percentage as the dictator of who makes the championship game, because there's no guarantee that everybody's going to play all of the games that that are on the schedule right now.
So where are you right now? We ask you this when we visit with you. It's been like a roller coaster ride, confidence level up and down. Where are you today as far as college football for the Power 5 conferences start of September?
Man, I am... This hour, I'm very pessimistic.
I can see it.
I've gone back and forth, as you know. It just feels like with what happened with Rutgers last night and with what's happening in Colorado State right now, it's going to be really hard to sell people that this is being done responsibly, even if it is being done responsibly. And it probably is in virtually every place in the country. It's not happening at every place. And I just, to me, if it's just a few instances, that's bad news, because then the whole thing's going to start crumbling.
Well, it's like this, a student athlete of the 60s and 70s. I mean, I remember when John Hanna, who's considered one of the best offensive linemen ever to play college football and the NFL, he shared with me once when he was eating lunch by himself at a table, Coach Bryant sat down, and John Hanna's a big guy. He said he felt so intimidated with Coach Bryant at the table, he couldn't eat his lunch. I bring it up because the student athlete of then is so different from today. And so not only dealing with COVID-19, now it brings up the other part, because the big complaint in recent years is the fact that they want to get paid as well. As far as their likeness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now all of a sudden, these players having conversations amongst themselves and with their friends who are playing college football elsewhere, they're having those serious conversations. Are these universities, are these conferences thinking about us, or are they just thinking about the mighty dollar?
The mighty dollar.
Yeah.
That's
what they believe. Whether it's true or not, that's what they believe.
And it is, 100%. And that's why Rashad Bateman is going to the NFL. That's why Caleb Farley is going to the NFL. You know, these players are opting out in part because of COVID, but also because of COVID, their health is at risk because of money in reality. So, yeah, you know, that's the almighty dollar. It always is the driving force in pretty much everything. And unfortunately for college football, that's a hard pill to swallow considering you're not paying the players their market value. And I think you're going to see a whole lot more players opt out, you know, especially if things like Colorado State continue to pop up, where basically they're not only being used for money, but they're being used and told to lie so they can get that money. And that's not going to fly.
The best part, we still are talking about 53 days away from the start of college football with regards to the SEC. And so a lot of things from a positive standpoint can change over the next couple of weeks to lead us to that point. So, you know, until we say no, that's what we have right now to look forward to.
And it's a move.
But I'm like you. I'm a little pessimistic still. But I'm optimistic about a vaccine and college football in January, February. Still very, very positive and optimistic about that.
We'll see, man. It's going to be a wild couple of weeks, I imagine, in the world of college football. An off-season unlike anything we've ever seen.
All right, before we let you go, remind everybody again how they can keep up with all your coverage.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Parler at Barrett Salee, and download the CBS Sports app, watch on CBS Sports HQ, all that stuff. Plenty of stuff to go around.
Stay safe. All my best once again to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
You too, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Barrett Salee joining us with CBSSports.com, also SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Open segment if you want to be a part of the conversation, 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. With this reminder, designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you're planning on drinking, then come up with the plan. Pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Good afternoon. We're checking a crash right now on 24 eastbound at Briley Parkway as you head out towards Murfreesboro. A couple of wrecks on Murfreesboro Pike. One's in the 300 block, the other one's in the 1200 block. Traffic's really picked up through Madison on 65 going northbound. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check them out online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on Demumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Every game is huge for the Braves as this sprint of a 2020 season rolls on. So make sure you're right here for every epic moment.
1-1 to Acuna. He sends one soaring. Deep left field. Way back to the wall and gone!
Tonight, the Braves homestand rolls on from Truist Park as the American League East Toronto Blue Jays come to town.
Coverage begins this afternoon at 5:55 on your home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Nashville Sports Radio.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, 844-5600. Still coming up a little bit later, Mike Organ, celebrating 35 years, sports columnist and reporter with the Tennessean. He'll visit with us. We'll get some of his favorite stories over the years that he has covered Nashville and the Middle Tennessee area as well. In case you missed it earlier today, the Nashville Preds up 2-0 after the first 20, up 3-0 after the first two periods, led 4-0 with 58 seconds to go. Arizona scored twice in that last minute, but it was still Nashville winning 4-2, and so now that best 3 out of 5 series all tied at 1 apiece. They'll be back in action again tomorrow for Game 3, and we're talking about 3 straight days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as far as these two teams are concerned, best 3 out of 5. Tomorrow, we knew that today was crucial for the Predators. If you don't win, I don't see them coming back, right, as far as finding a way to win 3 straight. But now, tomorrow, just equally as important because you don't want to fall behind 2-1 and be in a situation where now your back's against the wall.
Yeah, this, I mean, like I said earlier, this game today and the game tomorrow are just as equally crucial. I mean, everything that you're doing right now, and can you imagine if they didn't win this game today, how much of a mountain they're climbing? It's such a situation, and this is what, you know, this is the one thing too I've been saying, if you're going to lose, this is the time to lose. But it seems like they're shaking off the cobwebs right now and getting back into that playing form. And what we saw today was just, it was night and day difference between the team and the Lions that we saw last, you know, in their last matchup on Sunday. So it's such a refreshing look to see this Preds team come out and dominate a team and not just barely win or just, you know, get by a game, but they actually came out and barely win. But we're going to see if they can, you know, if they could dominate games back to back now. That's going to be the big question mark.
Well, remember, when you go back to their loss in Game 1, they fell behind early, so it's like, well, that... I mean, here you are supposed to be ready to go, and you're already down 3-0 through the first 20. And so you go back from the time that they trail 3-0, and then watch what has happened, you know, over almost 5 complete periods except for that final minute. You have to be pleased with the performance by the Predators, the sense of urgency, and we certainly saw it today, you know, coming out and getting on top 2-0 after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, those questions that a lot of people had, which I think were fair questions too, was, you know, do you do Pekka or you go UC? And then, now I think it's pretty sustained. You say UC's the guy you got to keep with, and even as much as today, the beating that he took early on, he didn't have to ride too much of a problem later on in those in the other quarter or the other not quarters the other periods. But I mean, even though it's back to back, you got to stick with UC coming up tomorrow.
By the way, speaking of tomorrow, the Utah Jazz will be taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies need a win. You know, this reset, 8-game stretch run there before we talk playoffs, and the Grizzlies were looking great in that 8th spot, but 0-3 so far, 3 disappointing losses, losing to the Pelicans. And so now, and as a reminder, just because you're in the 8th spot does not mean you're taking on the 1 seed. The way it works, if you don't have a 4-game cushion, then you will play the team that's in the 9th spot as a play-in game. And right now, the Grizzlies lead over Portland and the San Antonio Spurs 2 games. They're 2.5 games ahead of the Pelicans, and they're 3 games ahead of Sacramento. And, oh, by the way, even Phoenix still breathing a little bit right there, too. The Grizzlies only lead the Phoenix Suns by 3.5. You can almost say now with 5 games to go, most likely there's going to be a play-in game. You just hope that the Grizzlies will be one of those two.
Yeah, and There's still an ability here. There's still time for them to pump those numbers up to get over the 4-game, you know, win streak they need to. That's still a possibility, but you know, they're not helping themselves by not, and we talked about this earlier too, that they're not closing the door. They got to figure out a way to close the door, because they're definitely in all of these games. And the games you're looking at, you're talking about 108 to 105. These are high scoring contests, and they're in it just as much. They're not getting dominated. So if they can just find a way to shut the door in a game, get a comfortable 10-point lead with about a minute left where they can just kind of rest out and find a way and do that, then you know they're going to be fine. But they just haven't seemed to have that closing, that knockout punch yet to just win the game. I mean, that's, I don't know what it is, that missing piece. They have everything, it seems like, to be a successful team, but for some reason they just can't close the door.
But the problem that the Grizzlies, with their 3 losses, they lost to 3 of the 4 teams that's right behind them.
Yeah,
you know, this is Portland, a tough San schedule. Antonio, and New Orleans. Yeah, that's not good. And oh, by the way, tomorrow they're taking on the Jazz. They're 17 games above 500 for the year. So It's not going to be easy, but Eric Hasseltine and the voice of the Grizzlies will be on the call tomorrow. Once again, 1:30 start time for that one, 1 o'clock as far as pregame. So good luck to the Grizzlies tomorrow. Also, reminder, don't forget, coming up at 5:55, the Atlanta Braves taking on the Toronto Blue Jays, first of 3, with first pitch at 6:10. Certainly not a good day for birthday boy Mike Soroka. Can you recall one awful birthday in your short time on the earth there, Zach?
One awful birthday?
Because I'm thinking,
nothing I can talk about legally here.
No, I'm thinking Mike Soroka might have it on all of us. The fact that here he is celebrating his 28th birthday today, knowing you're less than 24 hours out as far as getting the news that your season is over and you've got a torn Achilles.
Yeah, that's rough.
So certainly, if you're a fan of the Braves or just you have a heart, prayers certainly going out to him for a speedy recovery. Because now, when you're talking about early August, not only are you looking for a speedy recovery, but now you're talking about you don't want to rush things early on for 2021, because that's a very short period of time to get healthy again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. And like I said, you know, as a pitcher too, you just that push off, you can't rush that. And so, I mean, I get the 9-month, 10-month kind of window. But really, that can be extended out for a full year just because of the strain that gets put on those parts of the body. That lower, I mean, all pitching is lower body. It doesn't matter how big your arms are, doesn't matter about any of that. It's all lower, your hips and your torque and everything really comes from your legs. So that physical wear on it that he's going to have, you just can't jump back out on the mound and expect to come back out and throw 96 right down the pipe and stay healthy that whole time. So this is a slow process that needs to happen right now.
You then have to protect your knee, your right knee. You also have to protect your left leg too, because you don't want to overcompensate. And so there's a lot of things that go into this. But First and foremost, just the mental obstacles that he will face. So certainly lifting up prayers for Mike, and still going to wish him happy birthday, but he certainly needs to be uplifted today.
He's got a lot of money, so I mean it's probably still going to be a good birthday.
It's not about the money at that. You know, come on. It's not about the money. When you got it.
Yeah, I think it's about the money though too. A little bit for a good birthday is what I'm saying. It's about the money.
But not with this news. All right, coming up, somebody who is celebrating 35 years with the Tennessean. Mike Oregon joins us on the other side, sports columnist, reporter with the Tennessean, all leading up to Braves baseball. Once again, pregame at 5:55, first pitch at 6:10 as Atlanta takes on Toronto. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. The police still gathered up on the scene of a couple of wrecks on Murfreesboro Pike. One is in the 300 block. The other one's further on down in the 1200 block of Murfreesboro Pike. Traffic's heavy, but it's moving here through Hermitage, Donaldson, out past the airport, continuing eastbound on I-40 into Wilson County. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind that Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Check them out at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office, and no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny with a high near 85 with a north-northwest wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 64 with a north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. And tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 85. Utilizing the resource of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Don't forget, coming up at 5:55, pregame coverage. First pitch at 6:10, Braves taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. First of three games, Max Fried on the mound for the Braves, the left-hander. Right now, going back to the hotline, 35 years with the Tennessean. Mike Oregon, good friend, outstanding work, sports columnist, sports reporter with the Tennessean. Mike, thank you for taking time out, and congratulations.
Thanks, Johnny. I appreciate that. It's hard to believe it's been 35 years, but when you start something when you're only 4 years old, you can put a lot of years in. So, 35 and I'm 39. There you go.
Well, the interesting part about that, I got to meet you between years one and two, and we've been friends ever since. I'm sure you heard from your good buddy Joe Dubin, who's president of your fan club.
Yes, yes. He's having a big party tonight for me. He's providing entertainment, so it should be a big shindig.
You know, obviously, when you've done something for that long, there's been numerous, teams, numerous stories, and you've had the opportunity to cover, because of the rotation, what they usually have done over the years with the Tennessean. So everything from Vanderbilt to Tennessee State and everything in between.
Yeah, that's what has, I still enjoy what I do. Probably enjoy it more today than I ever have, and never have not enjoyed it. And I think it's the newness that has helped me. I've seen guys that have stayed on beats, like a major. You were talking about the Braves coming up here in a little bit. I've seen guys that have stayed on major league beats and they get burned out. I've seen guys get burned out on college beats. Doing too much of the same thing for too long will do that. But the longest I've done anything, I was on the Vanderbilt beat for 10 years. And that's, just quite frankly, that's tough because Vanderbilt struggles so consistently. So that was good to change from that. And just to be able to change every 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think, has helped me sustain. I've covered the SEC. I've been the SEC beat writer. I've covered small colleges. I've covered the state's colleges. Done just a little bit of everything. Never been the Titans beat writer or the Predators beat writer, but I've both backed up on both beats and never had any desire to cover either team as a beat. Just don't know why. I just never have. But I think the variety has helped me hang in there as long as I have.
The late John Bibb, Jimmy Davey, I'm sure, as well. With regards to that philosophy, I mean, I know they were big into that. I mean, is that where you learned it from?
Yeah, I think so. Jimmy did a lot of different things. John, went straight from high school to Vanderbilt to becoming a columnist. I think if you become a columnist, it's a little different because when you're a columnist, you do kind of what I do. You touch on everything. So I think that other than becoming, what I've done has kind of been the same thing as a full-time columnist, but I've just not been a columnist. I've just covered all those different beats. And I think I followed in the footsteps of those two guys. I know I did. And Jimmy was truly my mentor. But all those guys taught me the ropes. Jimmy and John both, and then David Clymer, who unfortunately passed away in January. Jimmy just recently passed away also. But then Larry Woody, who I still see at least a couple of times a month. Larry Taft, who I see as often as possible. Mike Morrow, Tom Wood, Nick Sullivan, all those guys still stay in touch with. And those they truly taught me the ropes and how things are to be done. And even though it was a different era and a lot of things have changed a lot, the philosophies that they had are still in place, and the work ethic, more importantly, is what I learned from all those guys.
The best part about doing something as long as we both have is the fact that you have a contact list that is very long, and as long as you treat people right, that list will always be long for individuals that you can reach out to you. And at what point did somebody, talk to you about that, about making sure you treat everybody the same, also being respectful? They don't have to necessarily agree with you and vice versa, but at the same time, you can't lose the respect either on either side of that ledger.
Yeah, I guess the two guys that really helped me more with that than anybody would have been Jimmy Davey and Larry Woody. And I tell you why, because they both preceded me in covering Vanderbilt, and it is a difficult beat, and you can make enemies real fast doing that. Larry Taft also to some degree, because Larry Taft spent so many years covering high schools, and you can rub feathers the wrong way covering high schools in a hurry because you're dealing with kids And you have to be careful in that respect. So I learned how to deal with people, I think, from those three guys because of the nature of those two beats, Vanderbilt and high schools. When things are going well, you're covering a beat where they win. You know, if you cover Tennessee through the 90s, you know, it's an easy job, just to be honest with you. But when you're covering beats where they struggle, where feelings get hurt, where people lose jobs, and you're the one having to relay that and tell that story, it's a delicate balance. And I was lucky to have guys that knew how to do that ahead of me.
One or two sports moments for you that you had a chance to cover, is there one or two that really stands out to you? That, you know, when you're 70 and 80 and you look back and boy, and you go, you know, it's great that I had a chance to be in that moment. Is there one or two that stand out for you?
Well, I guess, you know, obviously getting to cover a Super Bowl was big, and covering the Titans Super Bowl was big. It was just so chaotic and so monstrous, and the way I covered it was just made it even more chaotic, because at the time I was covering Vanderbilt, and I was at a Vanderbilt Florida game in Gainesville on the Saturday night before, and a snowstorm had just hit Atlanta, and I'm in Gainesville, and I call up to Atlanta and ask my sports editor, can he do without me so I can just fly on home instead of renting a car and driving to Gainesville, because the flights had all been canceled. And he said, no, I need you. So I rented a car one way, drove through the snowstorm, which had left Atlanta and was headed my way. Obviously, it turned into rain as it got into Florida. But still, it rained the whole way. And I pulled into Atlanta about 45 minutes before kickoff, and was able to talk one of my coworkers, Larry Woody, who I've already mentioned, into hanging around the hotel and waiting for me so he could at least show me how to get over, how to catch the tram over and to the game. And so he waited for me, and I walked in, and about, I don't know, I think the national anthem was being sung when I walked in, and sat down, covered the game, then got in the car and drove on home to Nashville by about 5 a.m. that morning. So it was just a whirlwind from covering a college basketball game on Saturday night and then getting home Monday at 5 a.m. and covered a Super Bowl in between. But other things than that, you know, getting to cover the Cup, the NHL series with the Predators was fun, because we did so many different things with that. And I got to be a part of about four or five of the different elements that we were involved in with all the different social media. And then just, you know, getting to cover all those SEC championship games all those years and SEC tournaments year after year, and then following whichever team you're covering into the NCAA tournament was always fun too. So it's hard to pinpoint, but getting to do all of those things together collectively was really big. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention getting to cover the Masters in 2002, which I did. And that was so much fun, covering it with Joe Biddle and Chris Dortch and a bunch of guys that had covered it for many years, and going down there and learning how to do that, and watching Tiger win when they had Tiger-proofed the course to try to keep him from winning, and he still won. He was at the top of his game, so that was a treat to get to see that.
Well, Mike, I saw where you were celebrating the 35 years. I wanted to have you on, and once again, I value our friendship. I have a lot of respect for your abilities over the decades, and I wish you many, 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 many more years ahead with the Tennessean. But congratulations, stay safe, and thank you again for taking time out with us.
Well, I do for you the same thing, Johnny. You've done you've been in the same business for a long time. It's not easy to do that, and I respect you for hanging in there and doing the same thing. So appreciate you having me on today, buddy.
You're very kind. Appreciate that, Mike. Mike Organ, once again, sports columnist, reporter with the Tennessean. And don't forget, you can always keep up with all of his work on Twitter, at Mike Organ Writer, Tennessean.com. And then you can always buy the paper as well. But Zach, I think it's one of these things too, when you talk about somebody doing, he started off at a very young age, and to be able to do what we get to do, be a part of the sports industry, for him, 35 years, that's that means you're doing something right. So hats off to him.
But you do have to take the cautionary tale. He is a bald man, so you see what the industry does to you.
I hear you. That's not very nice.
Not nice at all. No. You know, he's really sweet to come on and, you know, have a good interview, and then I gotta go and sweep the leg, Johnny, at the end of it.
Luckily, you can just cut that part out. If you're saving the interview for prosperity, you can just cut that last part out and edit it out. That's what you do with that.
Well, that's, you know, him and Joe go to the bald man club or wherever they go to go shine their heads. So
brutal. You're just brutal today.
I just felt it. You know, it was just something in the air.
This is supposed to be happy, positive Tuesday, and you're just being brutal.
I was positive. I'm positive that they're very bald.
Oh, you stop. All right, big thanks to all of our visitors. Mike Oregon, also Kayla Anderson, award-winning sports reporter, sports anchor with News 2 here in Nashville, and Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. Atlanta native, huge Braves fan, and also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Don't forget Bill King's show tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show, 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2. And then tomorrow, don't forget, 1:30 tip time for Memphis as they take on the Utah Jazz. We'll be joining you right after that. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, Braves baseball on the way next. Have a great Tuesday night. Make some new memories and do us a favor and make it count.